With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm Carrie O'Donnell, and I'll be your co-captain on this bumpy boat ride to Mykonos called Lohan Island, a sexy, unique spinoff.
Previously on Lara and Carrie's Beach House.
Previously on, I am Lindsay Lohan.
Previously on,
I'm Lindsay Lohan. Previously on.
Previously on Meghan Markle's baby shower.
We are like,
that's the only thing that matters shook. In the world right now.
Duchess Meghan is in New York City having a baby shower thrown by Serena Williams.
Yeah. And do you know what one of my favorite photos of this week has been, like, I think Natalie Portman is staying at the same hotel just by, like, chance.
Oh, God.
And she's, like, wrecked over all the, like, there's a photo of her coming out and she looked like she was on the edge of just losing her mind from all the, like, paparazzi and, like,
and they're not even hubbub. There for her.
No, no one's there for her.
They're like, Vox who?
Yeah,
Vox Lux?
Like, nice try.
Nat. Nice try.
Better, like, next year.
No,
I love Vox Lux, though, so. We differ.
It's okay.
It's fine, but we're not here to talk about that.
Do you think Meghan Markle saw Vox Lux?
No.
Think she got a screener? Yeah, she
got a screener and she laughed.
Oh my God, she probably still gets the screeners because she's probably still in.
Do you think that those people that SAG is allowed to have her address now, though?
No.
They get sent to like a P.O. box.
Do you think she's formally. Think you're once you're in SAG, you're always in SAG.
She has her SAG card.
Do you think did she bring it to Kensington Palace?
I think so, and she shows it to people like every once in a while.
Yeah, she flashes it to like Princess Charlotte.
Yeah,
Charlotte like plays with it. And she's like,
Charlotte, you're gonna need one of these.
Yeah, she's like, do you want to play
famous actor?
Getting your SAG card, and Charlotte's like, yes, Auntie. Yes, Aunt Meghan, yes, please.
Will you show me your SAG card again?
So Meghan's like, we're going to play a game. You live in your studio apartment and in Burbank. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up one morning and you look in the mail and you have your SAG card and you have health insurance. And yeah. Princess Charlotte's like, okay, we'll do that. And then Meghan goes,
now hide bring, in the bring. Cupboard.
Yeah.
Hide in the cupboard. And she goes, can I hide in this cupboard? And Meghan goes, that's too big.
That's
you have
too
to
big.
Hide in a small cupboard.
Small cupboard. And then Meghan goes, okay, cock-a-doodle-doo. It's morning time in the valley. And then Princess Charlotte goes, oh, I'm just waking up and I'm going to check my mail. And then Meghan goes, something's in the mail.
Meghan turns the heat up in the room really, really hot to like 98 degrees. And she's like, it's hot in here because you don't have air conditioning because you live in the valley in a studio just waiting for your SAG card.
And there's no shade.
There's no shade. So
and
she
Charlotte
shines
goes,
like a spotlight on
Charlotte. Yeah. And then Charlotte rifles through the mail and Meghan goes, nope, that's for your car insurance. That's not your SAG card.
Do you have money in your bank account to pay your car insurance right now?
I'm sorry.
That's too bad. Well, what about your car payment? Do you think you can make that?
And you know what? Have you ever heard of e-surance? And Princess Charlotte goes, no, what's that? She goes, you need it. She goes, oh, look, it's your SAG card. It's from the Screen Actors Guild of America, from on the West.
On the West Coast.
And then
she
Charlotte goes,
in California. California.
In California. Where you from, Aunt Megan? And she goes, yes, Charlotte. And then
now
she goes,
this is the big decision. Did you get the SAG card or not? Open it.
I got the SAG card! And then they start like cheering and jumping up and down. And then Kate walks in and she's like, what's going on? Mommy, I got my SAG card, Mommy. I got my SAG card. I'm going to go to Los Angeles and be an actress like Aunt Megan.
I can't wait to be famous like Aunt Megan.
I'm going to be in suits.
Like suits.
I want to be in suits, Mommy. And then Kate Middleton looks at Megan and they just have this like...
They have a stare off.
Megan
smiles, mm-hmm. and Kate's whole body tenses up into just one muscle. And they just look at each other for 45 minutes.
And then that happens, Prince George comes barreling in and goes, what's going on in here? And then Charlotte, because he's a really deep voice already, and Charlotte goes, George, I got me a SAG card. And he goes, I want a SAG card too. And Megan goes, we can arrange for that. She goes, wow, Kate. She goes, wow, Kate, looks like we have a trio of actors. We're thespians really running the family here, right?
Born performers.
I must be in the
must run in the blood.
Must run in the blood.
Or then, just rubbed off on them.
Mm-hmm. And then Kate just goes, yes. Kate goes, yes, yes.
Indeed.
Quite well.
And she turns on her heel and storms out.
Dum, bum, bum. No, she's wearing flats.
Get
out of here with
and
the heel.
Storms out.
Kate wears nude flats to bed.
Remember those like cork wedges that she always wore?
Mm-hmm. She wears wedge heels to bed.
Yeah, she wears those. She washes her face, puts like face masks on, mm-hmm. puts her hair up,
yeah,
like wraps it all up, and then
in little curlers.
In curlers, and like
wears a face mask.
Puts like a conditioning treatment, wears like a full face mask, then slips into some comfortable wedge heels, mm-hmm. and then goes to sleep.
She's been like, well, we're talking about Meghan Markle because won the baby shower, but Beyonce and Jay-Z just won a Brit Award for their
for just like being
this
them.
Is everything.
Oh, the, yeah, I don't know,
the Everything Is Love album they
oh,
did.
Yeah.
And in the video, of course they couldn't be there because they only accept awards from far away, but Beyonce and Jay-Z are standing in front of a replica of Mona Lisa, but like with Meghan Markle's face on it.
In full, like, princess
royal,
jewels.
With a tiara.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it looks like it's in the Louvre. And mm-hmm. it's, like, just iconic. Like, Beyonce's giving her stamp of approval to the Duchess.
Beyonce.
The only Duchess she will acknowledge.
The only royal.
Is the Duchess of Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
Meghan Markle.
And that's that. If I was Kate Middleton.
God.
A single tear would have rolled down my face.
She's having a tough run.
Kate Middleton, like.
She's
amazing. She's been doing great.
She's been wearing Gucci.
But like, that bitch stepped her game up.
Yeah.
When she walked out in that Gucci gown, I was like, oh, it's like that now. Like, she called up a stylist and had some choice words for them. And she said, get me the Gucci gown or else I'll have you murdered.
Off with the heads. But like, imagine her being like, wow, that was a small victory for me. And I feel like, and then
she rested pretty on that gown for a whole 48 hours before Beyonce and Jay-Z posted something. Kate's like, now what? Like, any white person that would do like a Kate Middleton like appreciation video like that, like, it's like, who would do? No
yeah.
one. It would actually like hurt the brand of Kate Middleton. So it's like, there's nothing that can be done.
I mean, not only is it amazing for Meghan, but it gives the royal family just like an actual cool factor.
Mm-hmm.
Meghan is just giving them, like, we thought Kate was giving them a cool factor because she was a commoner, but no, Meghan
Zero.
Is giving them like legit.
Kate has officially.
I love Kate,
but like,
she's gonna be the queen.
She has not upped anyone's cool factor.
No, she's just like
She's just like another white lady,
a white mom,
a thin white mom with three kids. How is she? I don't understand how women have children and then become a rail thin afterwards.
I think it's just trauma of the public eye.
Of everyone being like
staring at you.
Of course. And also, like, the psychotic thing about Great Britain is that, or the royals, like, when they have a baby, like, within like 3 hours, they're expected to be like in like a petticoat, like holding their baby in front of the hospital for like a photo call
with like
hundreds
of people.
A full face of hair and makeup done.
and like a crowd. It's very like medieval.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Can you imagine pushing a child out of your womb? Like your vagina cracks open to like reveal like life. You give birth to another life is born and a human will exist because of you. Then you have to get all gussied up to then stand in front of people and have your picture taken.
It's like, it's a weird, I mean,
I hope Megan doesn't do that.
She probably will.
She probably just has to.
I mean, I think Harry has to.
She has to like play ball with so much stuff that she definitely doesn't want to do.
But she's subverting it a little.
How is she doing it?
With her outfits. Okay. And her, she's actually speaking, having political, because like you're not supposed to have.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to vote as a royal.
But she's been saying, there was some event she was at in Ireland where she said like, she was heard saying like, I'm really pleased with the referendum for like abortion.
Oh,
that
sick.
Was going on, that love women, that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So she's like, I mean, she's a total like women's rights feminist icon,
mm-hmm.
aka, yeah.
I love how hard you stand.
I do stand because it's like it's kind of cool. It's an American.
I've gone like back and forth like on Megan a little bit.
She's a girl
bit.
From LA.
Yeah, but
who
now,
is now a princess.
I'm fully like, I'm here for it.
She's
something
legit.
In the baby shower changed me.
Yeah.
Like, I like that she's in New York. Like, she's
alone.
Like, I'm not going to make everyone come to me. Like, they did that for my wedding.
Yeah.
It was annoying. We had to have it in that church. Did you read that thing that they wouldn't let her like burn any incense or like potpourri in the church?
Yeah,
she wanted to because it smelled like a dank hellhole, and they wouldn't let her, so she's like, that was annoying.
So she's in New York,
a
full royal now. She's like not American anymore, but
no.
She's back in New York, and the
she's
entire city is like
a buzz,
a gripped in just like, I was watching a video of her coming out of the hotel, and there's literally like 200 people just outside the, like, people with cameras. Like, I would be there. It's like, all these people are just there taking pictures. Like, how weird. And last year, no one knew who she was.
No, everyone was like, okay, Suits, another show I'll never watch.
But, like, what a...
Would you watch Suits now? Are you going to binge Suits at some point in your
I will
life?
My mom likes Suits.
I love that.
I liked the cast of Suits being at the wedding. And they were all like, we're here together and it's fun. And they were all like taking Insta stories and it was cute.
That's cute.
But like, and she's loyal to the, she has like all her Suits girls with her.
One time, two
and Amal Clooney.
Really coked out girls at a party kept telling me how much they loved Suits like 6 years ago.
I think it's like, I think we live in a bubble that we don't know what Suits is, but I think most people know what Suits is.
This was a shocking revelation to me because they were like LA girls. And they were like, I watch Suits all the time.
You have to be a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
To be our age and like Suits.
When when you tell me that you love Suits, I mentally tell myself, we're not speaking again.
Right.
This is the end.
But again, she's made Suits cool.
Suits is chill.
And like
now
I
think if you told me you were watching Suits, I'd be like, cool, how is it? I would engage.
But I love like, I've seen articles recently where like, it's like, Suits creator confirms that Meghan Markle probably won't appear in the season, in the series finale. I'm like, no shit.
God, it would be amazing. Like, I don't know what her experience was like on Suits. I'm sure it was pretty positive or whatever. But like, it would be amazing to be like on a TV show where, I mean, if you're an actress on a TV show, you're still like in a pretty good position. Mm-hmm. But like, you're always just at the mercy of the showrunner, the writers. Like, they can, like, do anything they want to you. And then you're like, okay.
What's my best way out of this?
Then you date the fucking Prince of England, or whatever the fuck is his title.
He's a prince of England,
right?
Yeah.
That just, like, didn't sound right to me for
some reason. He's a prince of Wales. Yeah.
Harry. You become a princess in the beyond A-list into just, like, starlist territory. And then they can never actually reach you ever again.
Mm-hmm.
They could like try and send you an email or like talk to your people, but like they will never be able to ever contact you again, even like ping you for an email. That would actually be the best part of being a royal.
To not be pinged.
Is it no one, like you only choose, like, no, you know, like, people will reach out that you haven't heard from in a long time, and then you're just like, ew, why the fuck are you talking to me right now?
You never have to get, like, field Facebook messages, emails, junk mail.
Never again.
Mail from, like, a gym that you belong to in 2013.
Never.
Grubhub.
Spam. You don't have to, like, unroll yourself from, like, random subscriptions you made at West Elm for, like, 15% off that one couch you really wanted.
You never have to get texts or emails from, like, ResistBot or, like,
no,
March for Our Lives, which is, like, great, but, like...
You never have to get, like, email intro'd to someone else for, like, a potential job.
You never have to get, like, a politician emailing you in a mass email, but, like, personalizing it and being like, Carrie, we need to talk.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't need to talk.
They just email you directly, and, like, you're on already a first name basis with them.
She doesn't ever have to do that again.
Never again. That's also a power move.
Yeah.
No one else can really say that. Like, no. Even if I feel like you're the president, like, I feel like Malia Obama has to, like, deal with email shit like that.
But not...
Not Megan.
She... Yeah. I mean, the only other person you can say who did that was, like, Grace Kelly. But, like, also, she was only this, your Serene Highness. Megan's your Royal Highness. So.
Seems like
your
Meghan
Serene
wins.
Highness, the Princess of Monaco.
That's chic, but, and Monaco's, like, fine, but it's not the same.
No.
It's not as much of a power move.
From Suits to HRH.
That's huge.
That's fucking
huge.
That's
a massive jump.
That's a
Grace
glow
Kelly
up.
Was an A-list actress before
she was an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Megan was, like...
Megan's done it.
A TV...
She's, like, a mid-level TV star that, like...
I do love when they were about to get, like, when all the wedding coverage was so insane, and they were like, we break down Meghan Markle's 12 most memorable roles, and it's like,
Suits.
What? It was like Suits.
It's like Suits, episode 12.
And a cameo in, like, Horrible Bosses. Where she plays, like, someone that someone sees at, like, an office, and then, like...
Like, Jennifer Aniston can't email Meghan Markle.
No.
Unless Meghan says...
Angelina Jolie can't.
No. Unless Meghan says, like, please keep an eye out for Angelina Jolie's email.
Amazing.
I went through a drive-thru Starbucks this weekend.
Where?
On the way to Slab City.
Love.
And my friend Christine turned to me as we were in the drive-thru line. She goes, is there anything you don't like at Starbucks? And I just paused for like 30 seconds. And I realized there's actually nothing I don't like at Starbucks.
I had Starbucks before I came here.
Yeah, Starbucks is iconic.
Their paninis are amazing. Their
spinach feta egg white wrap.
Their chicken sriracha honey sandwich.
Oh, damn. I haven't gone down that road. I need to. Their egg white bites are Goop approved. Google that if you don't believe me. It's true.
Their blueberry muffins.
Delicious. Their donut. Ask them to heat it up. They will. It's so fucking good. You won't even believe it.
Their sour candies.
Their gum. I had a cake pop once from Starbucks.
They look great, too.
It was fucking so good.
I think about 40% of my weekly meals are from Starbucks.
I love it. You know what I also love? Their little... salad, their Mercado salad.
Yeah, their Mercado cheese and fruit.
Yeah.
Their protein with the egg. It's a great way to make you shit, but it's great.
Guess what?
We all need regularity.
Regularity is key in life.
And Mercado will get you there.
Mercado will get you there. Starbucks, their coffee will get you there.
The baristas are always friendly.
They're so accommodating.
There was a barista that was in a show that I wrote. The Heathers.
Really?
He was...
Working there?
A barista at the Starbucks, one of the Starbucks I go to, was an extra in my episode.
Wow. And did you guys connect over that?
Yeah, he was like, weren't you one of the writers? And I was like, yes. And then now I see him and I'm like, hey. He's
hey.
Like, hey.
How's it going?
And he like tells me about like his improv shows.
Oh my God, fun.
Yeah.
Starbucks is a place that brings communities together.
It does.
Feeds you, keeps you regular, caffeinates you.
The bathrooms are a little gnarly.
I stay out of those because I don't want
Don't let it soil your...
Yeah, like I'm like, I know better than to like venture down that road.
It's like murder. It's like a murder room.
Yeah.
Lisa Vanderpump's Sir restroom reminds me of a Starbucks restroom.
Sir reminds me of a Starbucks restroom. I said it.
Flowers and poop. Didn't she say it smells like flowers and...
Flowers.
And feces.
And doo-doo.
And fart. Oh my God. Speaking of doo-doo.
Speaking of
ne'er-do-well restaurants.
Yeah.
We are...
Lindsay Lohan's
this
FEMA.
This episode was...
Can you believe that we're now...
I don't even know what episode we're on. 7?
Yeah. I guess.
Day 17.
I've lost concept of like space and time in regards to this show.
I think these people have too.
Like, I can't believe... Like, we've come so far, except not at all.
This episode was, I think, for me, the darkest.
Yeah.
Maybe not the darkest, but just, it was so, like... We also were watching it. Something happened to their internet, so we were watching it. Like, their voices were kind of off. Like, their mouths were not lined up with the dialogue.
We watched the last, like, 23 minutes in just, like, there was a audio lapse.
So, maybe that added to the disorientation I felt. But this episode begins with, obviously, last week, May was being told by Lindsay that she was fired.
Yeah.
So, and it begins with May, with Panos and Lindsay... She's getting fired. She cries. She goes over to Sarah and Brent, and they're like, oh, that sucks. But like,
Sarah comes out with a cocktail in hand. So, like, the job part of this, like, job has totally been, yeah, like, kind of thrown to the wayside,
yeah,
because everyone's just like drinking.
Yeah.
Including Panos. And so Sarah comes out. She has like an Aperol spritz in one hand, and then May's like crying, tells her that she gets fired. She like hugs her, and she's like, it's going to be okay. And then, like, Kayla comes out.
Well, Brent comes over, and he says,
what's wrong?
She goes, your dream came true, Brent. I'm going home. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Then, like, Kayla comes out, and she goes, why are you crying?
And then it cuts to Kayla in her confessional, and she goes, May is such a weak person.
So, like, the whole cast
comes
out.
They come over, and they're like, why are you crying? And then she tells them, and they're like, oh, okay. And then all of them are like, yeah, she sucks. She's weak.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what she's doing. Brent's like, she doesn't belong in this industry. It's just like, it's like you're pushed to you're humiliated on national television.
Mm-hmm. You're fired.
You're fired by Lindsay Lohan.
For like a job.
After 17 days.
Yeah.
And then you're immediately like thrown to the wolves, and everyone is continuing to be like,
to pretend that they care about what's wrong, and then go turn around and just talk mad
in
shit
earshot.
About you.
Your shot.
Yeah.
And then
the producers are like, hey, Sarah, will you come over here really quick?
Yeah.
And then they're like, I just want to get a quick of your like reaction to May being fired. And it's like, she fucking sucks. She's a baby and didn't deserve this job.
Yeah. All of them are like, go away, May. Then Panos comes over. They're all at the bar and they're like, let's drink. Mm-hmm. So they're all start ripping shots together. And then Panos, see in the background, is banging back shots too.
Taking a shot just like by himself.
He pulls May to the side, and after all this, May is fired, and then everyone kind of is trolling her. Mm-hmm. Panos takes her to the bar and goes, you're leaving tonight. I've arranged for a flight. You have to leave tonight in a few hours, so let's take a shot now.
Yeah, he goes, I'm so sorry, but let's take a shot.
Like, she is just, it's like a...
It's too much.
It's like a merry-go-round of just like, whoa.
Too much, too fast.
And then after Panos tells her that she's leaving basically immediately, mm-hmm, Lindsay comes out of nowhere.
Lindsay barrels in.
With band-aids on her, up
on
and
her
down
knees.
Her shin.
Yeah.
Wearing
those gladiator boots that she's had. I mean, I give her props because she's had those for years now.
Yeah.
Like, that's a wardrobe staple of hers. Or I think they're like...
Givenchy,
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she never... Like, when she did that clothes trade in her Oprah show where she, like, traded all her clothes for money, she
yeah.
was like, these have to stay.
No, she held on to those. Yeah. So she's had them for years. They're her favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts them on... I think they're her favorites because they cover up like drunken or injuries that
yeah.
she gets to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know how she walks them. They look very slippery, but anyways.
But why is she so like bruised? I think she just falls a lot.
Yeah, I think she's like a fucking bat out of hell all the time and is like falling over and like injuring herself.
She like rolls down the Mykonos hillside.
Yeah.
But so she
like, falls off a cliff and then like dusts herself off, throws the boots on and is like, thank God for these. And then,
thank God for these gladiator shoes. So then she barrels out of nowhere, pulls May into the bathroom. And me and you were saying, oh, she's like, before you go, I want you to shove this coke up my ass.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to squat down and you're just going to, like, press it up in there.
But no. She takes her to this weird bathroom that looks digitally imposed. And she tells May, like, you're like me. I know it. You're insecure.
She goes, why are you so insecure?
Tell me about your life. Her accent, by the way, in this episode is fully back.
Fully back.
She goes, why are you so insecure? And then May's like, yeah, my life has just been really hard. And then Lindsay's like, same.
And then Lindsay says her lot. So Lindsay says, I know there is something different about you because you have a lotus flower tattoo. My sister has one on her neck. And so somehow Lindsay connects those two things to mean like a sign from the universe.
Like she and has, like, they have lotus flower, fucking lotus flower tattoos.
Like, show me a fucking bitch that doesn't have a lotus flower tattoo. Like, you gather a group of women, a group of 10 women, I'd say 30% of them have a lotus flower tattoo. But it's Lindsay, a very common thing.
Lindsay sees this as
a sign of Zen peace.
Well, so they have a long talk. She's like, my family, I a lot of hardship. My mom was really sad. My dad was crazy. Like, just, you know, telling May all the shit. May's like, wow, cool. But like, I'm also, my life is terrible right now.
Like, I'm kind of drunk off of tequila because I've just done shots. I'm fired. And I have to get on a plane.
Thank you for telling me about your fucked up family. And then Lindsay just goes, you're not fired anymore.
So she rehires her.
She goes, you're not fired. I will give you a new chance. And May's like,
okay.
What? And she's like, you are not fired. Do you hear me?
You are not fired anymore.
Go back to there. Go back to work. So she sends her away. May's suddenly like smiling through tears. And then she goes up to Panos and Panos is like,
Panos is sitting at a table just like zoning out. He's like processing all the alcohol. Panos also just did like multiple shots.
Yeah, he did like 8 shots. But he looks at Lindsay and he goes, what did you do? Like, he knows she's up to something. She's like, what did you just do? And then she goes,
don't make me cry.
She goes, May, you know how my sister has a lotus flower tattoo? And he goes like, no. And she goes,
May has one too. So that's all I have to say. I cannot fire her.
And he's like, wow, okay, great. Well, like, that just goes against, I'm as your business partner, thank you for consulting me.
Yeah, and then she goes, don't make me cry.
Don't make me cry, Panos.
So then she's getting like emotional, and then Panos is like, well,
we have to fire someone.
Panos' logic also is like not sound either, because he's like,
well, now
if we don't fire her, we need to fire someone.
To make them afraid.
Prove a point.
He just wants to fire someone.
Yeah, Panos just like wants someone to suffer.
So then Lindsay barrels back into the bar where all the, and everyone, by the way, everyone goes back and she barrels into the bar and just goes, Jules.
But at first, Lindsay's like, don't make me do it. Like, yeah. She's like, don't make me do it. Don't make me do it. I hate it. But she does want to be the one who,
yeah.
It's like, that's kind of the sign of a true evil person is when they're like, don't make me do the actual dirty work, but I want to like be the one to pull them aside and see like that they're excited and think it's going to be like a cool thing or a good thing, or they're scared, but then not have to actually like bring the axe down.
Yeah. Like she starts running away. She says, don't make me do it. And then you think that she's going to go hide in like the office. No, she goes straight up to Jules and says,
Can I talk to you?
We need to talk to you. She pulls Jules away, and then Panos sits down with her, and he's like, he's fired. Like,
yeah.
He's like, you're a model.
He goes, you're so gorgeous. You're beautiful. And Panos tells Jules she's his favorite person.
Yeah.
Which is a bold-faced lie, because, like, literally an episode ago, he was like, I hate Jules.
And she's like, tell me what you want in a brand ambassador.
And he's like,
not you.
So then...
and he says he's grown up with models all his life. And then goes like on a tangent about models.
Panos hates models.
He hates models.
He has been, because he probably wanted to be a model.
Yeah.
And it just.
It just like didn't
height,
pan out.
Yeah. Didn't Panos out.
Mm-mm. And so now he has a chip on his shoulder about models. And he says Jules has a flatline personality.
He goes, you know when a heartbeat just flatlines. It's like, that is what your personality is like. And Jules just takes it and goes, okay.
Can you imagine someone telling you just, like, don't have a personality?
That you're dead inside?
Yeah.
And then he says...
Jules isn't dead. She's just stoned.
And sick.
Yeah, she's mono.
She's on a lot of antibiotics.
Which the mono is fully resurfaced. Like, it's, like, morphing into pneumonia at this point.
She has walking pneumonia.
Yeah.
And Panos is literally tells her she's completely useless and empty. And then Lindsay says... she's boring me. And then Lindsay goes... God bless her and her Christian soul, but she's useless to me.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
So we think that Lindsay fired Jules because she's jealous because Jules is so pretty and tall and model-y.
Yeah.
But I also think on top of that, Lindsay fired Jules because she's Christian.
That's true.
She's not here for a Christian.
She's not here to fuck with Christians, which I kind of love
that. Like, I love, like, Lindsay has no time for, like, a Hillsonger.
No. Lindsay's on point with that.
Lindsay is, like, becoming radicalized before our very eyes, and this is, like, step one. But I'm here. Like, the next season of Lindsay Lohan's Beach House is just, like, her joining ISIS.
She hates Christians, and we're all about it.
I live for her hatred of Christianity.
But they suddenly are so mean to Jules, and then Jules goes back to the bar and is hugging, and she's like, I got fired. And everyone's like, what?
And then she goes to May, she goes, so that means I'm going home with you. And then May goes, I'm not fired anymore. Which is actually, like,
cruel.
Is Jules still alive? Because I would be dead.
And then
I would give in to the walking pneumonia.
And then May hugs her, and you just see Jules, like, flatly hugging her back. And everyone is upset. Everyone's pissed because they're like,
everyone's like crying. But they also, it's like, okay, so this is like prisoner status because they can't like be visibly upset in front of Panos or Lindsay. So this is another like Putin tactic.
Lindsay and Panos are watching from like,
they're watching from like a little, like a crack between the floorboards.
Lindsay has a periscope that looks up from the basement, and she's watching, and Panos is like fighting her to look in, and they're watching together from beneath the basement, and there's a periscope that's so obvious that's like right next to them by the bar,
turning around every time. It's like hits one of them in the face, and they're they like, have to just like,
Mike's like, hey, I think there's a periscope poking out of this.
Tries to stick his dick in it because he's so horny.
Mike gets so sad when Jules...
Mike is upset. Yeah. Maybe he's taking it the hardest of anyone.
Yeah.
Because his last opportunity for a hand job is now either walking into the ocean or on like a one-way flight back to America.
Or like at Yaya's.
At Yaya's or... like in urgent care, getting prescribed like a Z-pack.
And so he's really bummed. And then Jules they put her in a van and they take her away.
Never to be heard from again.
She's back to Denver.
Didn't even get, like, necessarily like a goodbye.
No,
like,
she took a seaplane from Mykonos to Denver.
Yeah.
She's like,
they had to coast most of the way there. Like, they ran out of fuel after like 60 minutes. And then he was like, well, we still have a 13 hours left of this flight. And then
they made Jules flap on because she's so lanky.
Yeah,
they used her wingspan to power the flight, but then she got even sicker.
Mm-hmm.
So when she finally got back to Denver, she was like, had like 108 degree fever.
Jules has been in the ICU for months trying to recover.
Her glands in her throat are like
hugely swollen. Grapefruits. Yeah,
they're like cantaloupe.
She's now like at a special hospital that studies people with like crazy diseases that survive because she's like a scientific anomaly.
She's learning how to walk again.
Yeah.
So Mike is devastated. They go back to the house and there's this beautiful sad shot where... Well, first, they're in a van.
And first before this, like right after the firing of Jules and like Lindsay spying, she hops in a red Jeep with her with an entourage
of gays
and like one girl in the middle sitting bitch in the back seat, which it sucks to be you. That's probably the girl from like that she made dance with her that one night.
And she's wearing a hat that says Icon. And and everyone, including Kayla, they're all like, what is Lindsay's?
The fuck?
They're all like...
They're like, this makes no sense.
They're like, I think she's trying to fuck with us now.
Yeah.
And I don't understand her reasoning, and I'm really weirded out by this.
And truly, at this point, it like, all sense has been thrown out the window. Like, this now is just like, and this is actually the show we've been waiting for, which is just the Lindsay show.
And there's a point when Billy comes up, who, like, is never seen. By the way, is missing.
Gone.
And so Billy comes up and he goes, what's going on? And they said May is not fired anymore because she cried. They're all like, because May cried.
And they said Jules is fired now.
Billy goes, okay.
I can't.
He goes, I can't. And he just leaves.
Yeah, he turns around and walks away. This isn't a business.
And then Kayla's like, so you cried, and which is a valid point. She's like, you cried and got your job back. She goes, this is not how like a real business should be run.
No.
And then you see Lindsay getting into this Jeep with an icon hat, just barreling off
just
into
like
the twilight.
Smirking at the camera. Yeah, and then they go off to like blow rails of coke and like
fish.
Yeah. Eat like crabs together.
You said Lindsay went home and ate a whole crab.
Yeah. She was like, is this soft shell? And then just like fried it, but it wasn't a soft shell crab, but she ate it anyway.
And then pass out.
She like crunched on its crab bones.
So then they're in vans and they're all just
they're defeated.
And Sarah and Brent are in one van with Mike, and May's in the back seat. And they're all just talking about May.
They're like,
that sucks that Jules went home and May is staying here.
Yeah. And May, like, what would it be like to be May in that situation? May sucks. I hate her.
I hate May too. And then they get home. They get home, and Mike, first of all, they walk into the back of the house, and there's a feral cat. Like
there's a feral cat. Like I wish
Mykonos
we had
kitty.
Followed that cat for like 30 minutes.
It was Panos.
I'm ready. It's Panos is like a shapeshifter.
Panos spies on them at night as a cat.
Panos, like everyone thinks he came from like a wealthy family or whatever, but like he's actually just like a 1,000-year-old shapeshifter.
Yeah, he's every night he's been spying on them and drinking out of their pool.
And he's so thin because all he does is drink pool water.
Yeah, and like eat. Leaves.
I wish that this show had just gone like fully like into a different mode and right. followed the cat around for like half an hour and turned into like the cats of Greece and then like come back. Like this is needs to get like really like avant-garde, like artsy
Yorgos.
I'm ready for it to like take a turn like
you're
that.
Ready for it to get like Yorgos Lithimos.
Absolutely. Get Yorgos on the phone. Yeah. He should direct the next season. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for like movie like A-list directors to start directing reality television because I think that could be the best thing ever.
There needs to be like a dog tooth moment where Lindsay has like they're all like Lindsay tells them that they can't leave the premises
mm-hmm.
until like their like eyeball falls out.
Yeah,
so they end up like one of them ends up like taking her own eyeball out to get out.
Yeah,
and Lindsay's like thanks,
sorry.
Gotta pay up. And yeah. She gives Lindsay takes the eyeball and then like eats it.
Lindsay
she goes, this
gay.
Is supposed to be good luck, right?
Yeah. She makes her gay eat it.
Yeah.
And he's like, ew, oh my God, Lynn,
this is gross.
Am I gonna die?
But they get back to the house and they see the cat and then Mike goes in and he's like just lamenting the loss of his like
his
potential like,
only HJ that was yeah. in his near future because no one will let him be gay on this show.
No one.
He's then, getting shit on left and right.
He is. And then he goes, and there's this really pathetic shot where he goes into Jules's room and all the clothes, she's gone.
She's fully
long gone.
She's gone girled out of there.
Empty coat hangers. And then Mike lays down on the bed and just goes, God, I miss her.
And then he goes into the closet and he does like a dramatic moment where he like looks in to see like if any of her stuff is still there. And he like pats the wall.
He takes one of her shirts and like Brokeback style puts it in his own and
yeah.
then like keeps it in his closet and smells it every day.
That's so sweet.
It is cute. And then we head over to Yaya's. Well, that was a little, we forgot about that. We see out like again, do we give a fuck about Alex and his
this storyline that didn't pan out? I still can't get over like we're gonna go on this trip because I need to tell my grandmother that I'm gay.
He didn't.
And then he's like, well, actually, like, I'm not gonna tell her.
He's like, actually, I'm straight and Gabby's my girlfriend. And
yeah.
She's like, great. Okay, cool. And he's like, thanks.
And he's like, thanks so much for the Ralph's cupcakes, like, and Sunny D. See ya. So they're like wrapping up that storyline, which is like, you could have just never talked about it again, and I would never have cared.
And he's like, I wonder if someone got fired.
They're like, so much shit happens. And we're like, really? Because it seems like nothing has happened except this is the first time something really is happening.
So then they get back to the house. They see, they find out immediately that Jules is gone. And then Gabby comes home. She's immediately, they're like, Jules is gone. And May is here. They fired May and then they unfired her and then they sent Jules home. And then
yeah.
Gabby, like, I didn't
breaks
realize.
Breaks down crying.
I didn't realize she and Jules were that close.
What if they were lovers?
Yeah, maybe they like.
This is like a Call Me By Your Name
yeah.
moment, but just like the unexplored lesbian storyline.
Like this was all happening.
Guy didn't know why Gabby was crying. I thought she was crying because we finally see Janita, who's inexplicably missing.
Yeah.
Who is at home like eating oatmeal or something. And then like when Janita sees everyone, when she sees Alex get home, she runs out and gives him a huge hug and says how much she missed him. And I thought Gabby was crying because Janita just like had not said hi to her.
She misses Mono Jules.
Mrs. Mono Jules.
And then
Jules was like, they had like, they laid together one night just face to face and Gabby said, I want to kiss you so bad. And Jules goes, you know, you can't I have mono. I'll infect you.
She's like, she whispered, my glands are the size of grapefruit.
She goes, feel them.
And then.
And puts
then,
Gabby's hand on one.
And you heard, oh, all wonders ever cease. Blessed be the mystery of glands.
And Jules said, when I don't have mono, we'll have our first kiss.
She goes, call me. And then Gabby goes, call me by your glands and I'll call you by your
And her nickname for Jules was Glands, and it was their own like special secret.
I still never understood. I read the book and saw the movie like several times, and I don't understand like what that means.
Like calling someone by your name,
like we are each other kind of thing.
I think it's just like instead of being like calling someone like Binky or Lamb Chop, like a little cute nickname, like you just call them your name,
I guess. Anyway, but yeah, also someone, one so of the, Gabby a great just, listener from the podcast messaged us that apparently Mike like was going off on his Instagram being like, they didn't show that me and Jules had been like dating basically and like going on dates and hanging out. And like, there's all this unseen footage
what?
Of them. Yeah. That like wasn't shown.
Did they have sex?
I don't know, but I saw it. They messaged both of us and they said Mike
Justice
was like.
Justice for Mike.
Mike was saying like, here's the truth. About me and Jules, like you, there are things you think you know, but you have no idea. We were going on hot dates and holding hands.
I would have loved to have seen that instead of like Yaya's weird, shitty town.
Yeah, and like bland Alex.
Yeah, like who cares?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
So then they get back. Gabby's so upset. She goes into another room, and then May comes in, and Gabby literally goes, "May, I don't want to see you right now."
May goes, "Jules wanted me to give you this," and she's about to like hug her. Yeah. And Gabby's like, "I can't accept a hug right now."
She has no hugs.
No hugs.
And like, God, May is just...
May's
just now like wandering through the corridors like drunk. She's always just drunk and like...
She's just like drunk and doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she just is one of those people that it's never gonna click.
Yeah. Jules wanted me to give you one of these.
Like fuck you.
I kind of loved Gabby in that moment.
I love Gabby. Yeah. Gabby won points for me.
She was like, stay away from me.
So then Panos the next day... Everyone arrives and they're like wearing white. Is this the day they all wear white? Yeah.
First of all, speaking of don't hug me, they walk in and then Panos is sitting there and one of them tries to give Panos a hug and Panos goes, "Don't touch me. I'm not in a good mood today."
I love.
And he never explains why he's not in a good mood, but he's just like, "Don't fucking touch me."
Panos, and this was the point that I said Panos is hot.
And
you disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like just coming to terms with our mutual feelings. But like Panos is a hot comedian. Like he needs to like
he's
move
sassy.
To LA and become a comedian.
Well, then someone else says they give them the task for the day and that they're going to be dealing with
a bachelorette party
and children.
And yeah,
and
a couple
friends.
No, it's Panos's friends with this family. And they're coming with their two kids. And so they need like babysitters.
And then someone says, Brent says, "I have a godson. I love kids." And Brent goes, "I have a godson too. And I can't stand him."
Mm-hmm. I live for Panos.
But yeah.
Panos is just being real.
And then I told you that I have a theory that Panos still has a governess.
Oh, yeah. Panos has a full-blown nanny.
He has a nanny. It's like that girl in The Bachelor.
Yeah, you turn to me and you go, "Do you think Panos has ever, like, slapped a nanny or, like, slapped one of the help?" And I was like, absolutely. And then we decided that Panos, like, bit his nanny.
But he's, like, 38 and he still has a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Corinne in The Bachelor who has that, like, live-in
housekeeper. Yeah, a caretaker. For Corinne, though, is that just because she's, like, mentally incapacitated? Like,
I think so.
That's, like, an ordinate, like, a government-sanctioned, like, helper.
A state-sanctioned nanny. But
yeah.
Panos's is just because he's a tart.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, I need my governess."
He needs, like, to be woken up out of bed, mm-hmm. like, with someone pulling the blinds and going, "Panos, time
Panos!
To get up!"
Julieta!
Shut the fuck up.
Like
and then they're
like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Julieta!
And then like, yeah. And then she goes, "Oh, someone is grumpy today.
Oh, who wants a hot milk?
I make you the hot milk in the toast that you like."
Shut up,
I haven't eaten in years.
She goes, "You like to be drowsy in the morning. I like you to be sleepy, Panos." And he goes, "Yes, I want to be sleepy, Panos.
I want to be sleepy, Panos. I want to go back to bed."
And she goes, "Okay, Panos, I give you 2 more hours in bed.
2 more hours. And then he's like, "Mm." And then 2 seconds later, she goes, "Just kidding.
Just kidding. You
want to film. It's Lohan Beach House Day." And
goes,
like,
oh.
Yeah, he's sad. But like they've gotten past the point like where all the abuse has just been like totally normalized, mm-hmm. and now it's like an actual like it's a hugely important relationship in both their lives. Like, like him and the governess can't live without each other.
Yeah, they like she sleeps in the room down the hall.
Sometimes they'll just like stay up late and smoke cigs together, though.
Yeah. So Panos's governess is like, no, I'm just kidding. But so also, so then they're like, "You have to go do." Like,
Brent and Mike
have to go
to,
blow
like,
up like baby pools and rafts, and then fucking Mike's like, "This is really hard to blow." He's trying to blow a raft up, and then fucking Brent goes, you're the best blower in the house. That's shocking.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck you.
Brent sucks.
Poor Mike.
Mike is getting it from all angles and not getting it at all.
Yeah, not getting the right
kind
of it.
Not getting the right kind of it. And then Lindsay shows up in like a picnic outfit.
Lindsay looks like Madeline on meth.
She's like in a jaunty fedora that matches her dress. She also in this episode is looking better than ever again.
She looks, something has happened.
The bloat has like gone back down. She got hooked back up and electrocuted by that machine. Mm-hmm. And she's like made a full comeback.
But she's like weird, inexplicably with this family. Right?
Yeah. Like we still have no idea who this family is.
Oh, they they are like, you have to tend to Lindsay today.
Oh.
Like Lindsay, you're like, Panos is like, anything Lindsay wants, you have to. So Lindsay's like playing guest.
Oh, yeah. So then, but there's also a baby there.
Yeah.
But at this point, too, the beach house is empty again. Like no one else is there except for like the randos that they bring in to like film.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
So they bring over like a baby pool full of seawater and like Sarah takes selfies with like the sullen teen girl.
Yeah.
Who, like we felt bad for. And then. We start knowing more about Kayla, which I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm an only child and, you know, I'm a hard worker and like, it's hard for me to be away from my family. And like, I'm so unclear.
It's like,
Kayla.
No one asked Kayla. So then like the day goes by, Brent like plays with children, which is like unnerving sight to behold.
Yeah. Never let your kid with Brent.
And then that night back at the VIP host house, Brent is like wasted trying to talk to Sarah about like, he does like the fuckboy thing where like you act like horrible to a woman and then they date you anyways because they have low self-esteem, and then you act horrible again and you come because like, oh wait, on the beach they had a decision that they like weren't gonna date or something.
Yeah, they,
like,
and they told Panos, they told everyone at like the staff meeting, and Panos goes, what?
Yeah, so they were like, they decided to like break things off and just like be professional.
Yeah.
So then Brent realized that later that night he would have to get super manipulative to like suck Sarah back into his web of lies.
And he just, his eyes are all bloodshot already, and he just starts talking about his grandmother, and he's like, when my, just out of nowhere, he's like, my grandmother got really sick and I was really close with her.
He goes, I have to tell you, if we're going to really do this, like, you need to know what you're going to be getting into if you date me. And it's like, as if she doesn't know already, because she's literally been getting abused by you from the second you guys met. But like, yeah, cool, go ahead.
You're an angry ghoul.
What's the big problem? And he's like, I was bullied. I had to get pulled out of school because my parents thought I was going to kill myself, which is like, that's real.
Yeah.
And like, sorry that happened
sorry
to
that
you,
happened,
but
Brent.
Like, get the fuck over it. You're an adult.
We've
like, go
been,
to therapy.
We all were bullied.
Yeah. We've all
to
had
ourselves.
Hardship. And then he's like, my grandma died, which is also like sad. I'm sorry for your loss, but like, also that's
grandparents
what grandparents do.
We both looked at each other and I was like, all of my grandparents are dead.
Same.
Like, that's just. His grandmother, like, he was like, yeah, she lived with us and she was really close with me and then she died.
Yeah. And then she got, like, old and then she died.
It's really hard for
and
me.
And he's, like, weeping. And then he's like, I just want you to know that I'll treat you the same way that I treated her. And it's like, what, did you throw your grandma's clothes on her head and call her a two? Because, like, that's, like, literally what you've done to Sarah.
Also, the last thing I want my partner to tell me is, I'm going to treat you like my grandmother. I'd be like, okay, bye.
So what, you're going to, like, feed me my meds and, like, make sure I only eat liquids? Like,
make me go to bed?
Are you going to change my diaper and, like, wipe my ass when I can't do it? Like, help me up and down to the toilet?
He was like, when I look at you, I look into the eyes of my grandmother. And she's like, he didn't say that, but, like, basically saying, like, when I see you, I see my grandmother and I want to take care of you in that way.
I love
Sarah,
any woman.
Sarah's like
wet. She's like, I'm fucking wet. Let's
and they
fuck. And then they fuck, and we fully see them like fucking.
We see Brent's like, he's like rising, like humping her, and it's.
And
like,
then she's like on top, like riding his dick, and it's just like, this is so bizarre.
It's so weird.
Your relationship trajectory, like if they were to stay together and then like be together forever and have kids, they would have to like say, do you get kids want to know the story about how mommy and daddy met? Like, daddy got really drunk.
Told me that he wanted to fuck me like his, or treat me like his grandmother, and then plowed me.
And then plowed me. But prior to that, he got really wasted and said that I was fat and a two.
It called me a two.
Called me a two. And then I poured a bottle of tequila on Daddy's head. But then when I found out that he had a grandmother that died, something changed for me. And then he said he would treat me like his dead grandmother. And then we were together forever. I'm going to treat you like my grandmother.
I'm going to treat you.
What? You want to visit me like every holiday?
You want to call me like every month, once a month, maybe every 2 months?
Catch me up on what's going on in your life and make small talk until
talk
next
loudly,
time.
Extra loud to me, even though I can probably hear you.
Yeah. You want to watch Wheel of Fortune together?
You want to like do novenas with me and like watch Mother Angelica on like CNTV or whatever?
CTN. So I'll spend the night at your house like once a week, and then we'll watch Golden Girls, and I'll play with a like little jar of monkey toys you have in your closet,
and I'll sleep in an air mattress in your living room and listen to you watch Law and Order and knit and listen to your husband like listen to a fire station like transistor radio about like fire.
Come visit you at the handbag department where you work and like bring you lunch. Like, I don't understand.
Go to the Christmas tree shop with you and,
yeah,
like, I mean, that sounds kind of great.
That, I mean, it's not a bad relationship.
No.
But, like, that's also, like, not the model for a sexual, like, romantic relationship.
You want to, like, try my high heels on in my giant walk-in closet? And, like, try my leather gloves on?
That sounds sexy.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I love that.
My nana would, like, walk in on me and I'd be, like, in her heels. And she'd be like,
oh, cutie.
Yeah. She was cool. My nana was a fucking badass.
I love my grandma.
She once told me
my
sister...
Did you call her Nana?
Mm-hmm.
She once
told us that we had to suffer for beauty.
She's not wrong.
She also said, don't wear things common.
What does that mean?
Like, don't wear your shoes common. Like, don't wear it, like, a lot.
Oh.
Don't wear it common.
Like, so only wear every once. Every mm-hmm. piece of clothing is not to be worn mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
I love that.
She also said that...
So she's basically like, shop till you drop.
Oh, yeah.
And she don't outfit repeat.
Feline's Basement and Lord & Taylor.
Love. Oh, my Lord & Taylor.
And she... yeah, she was just great. She used to like... She used to say evidently a lot. And she used to call cheating stepping out. And she used to call bars bar rooms.
Classic Nana.
And she once told, she got wasted at my confirmation like a few months before she died, and she told our family friend that I run very deep, aka he's fucking gay.
He's a big old homosexual.
She knew.
I love that.
That boy's very deep.
The boy runs very deep. What, this was
also
after
one time
what?
I went to the Christmas tree shop with her, and she bought me and this was like August, and she bought me Halloween stuff because I loved Halloween and they had like a Halloween section already, and I wanted a fake headstone that was like $60.
Oh, amazing.
And she bought it for me, and then I left it, and she lived up in Boston, and she overnighted it, and it cost like $40.
That's
She called my mom and said, I know it means a lot to him.
Oh, I
his
love
fake headstone.
Grandma's his fake headstone,
right?
Carrie went to the Christmas tree shop, but he wanted a headstone.
She got me.
She gets it.
Anyway, so then Brent and Sarah fuck.
So then they fuck, because nothing really gets you going like being told you're going to get treated like a grandma. And yeah, then the next day there's a bachelorette party that I kind of love the bachelorette party.
Yeah,
girls.
You kept going.
I'm into them. At first I was like, these girls suck.
You also pointed out that at one point the camera cuts to Panos, who's watching the bachelorette party, and there's like this coy...
He's stone-faced, and then he does, like, the briefest hint of a little smirk, and then goes back to stone-faced, and I realized Panos is enjoying this bachelorette party, too.
It's silly.
And I like what Panos likes.
Yeah.
Parnos.
Parnos was so...
Parnos was charmed by
like,
bachelorette shenanigans.
He was, like, this. He, like, kind of was, like, ooh...
And like, because this wasn't just any bachelorette party. This was like the kind of group of girls that like they get dressed up and go hard for like girls' night out events.
They wear like trucker hats that say like
hose.
Yeah, or like turnt.
Yeah. And they wear like there was a of them in like full like carnival costumes.
Yeah.
Like they come to play.
Yeah.
We were like, these are like,
they're professional bachelorette party girls.
They are. And they're like the kind of group of girls that just, we didn't hear them say anything except they all just scream in unison.
They all just go, whoa.
Like one of them goes, ah! And then they all go, ah!
And then he looked over at Panos and he was like,
he smiled.
He was like, I like this.
He loved it.
He was like, they're silly and I like them.
This bachelor and May had to greet the bachelorette party, which is like a
Can you imagine?
Like you're spending so much money to like go to Lindsay Lohan's FEMA headquarters and May is the person that greets you. She kind of like pepped up enough to do like a semi-decent job. But these girls, what really shook me is they get out of the van that's taking them to the beach house and they're just wearing swimsuits. Like they're not wearing like swimsuit cover-ups.
And like wedge heels.
They're wearing just swimsuits and their shoes, no pant, like
beads.
So they literally got in a car
in their suits.
In their swimsuits.
Their hair fully done. They walk in. Like I
Which
think
is they, not that wild, but it is wild. Like,
they
as
should
a
have
woman,
had, like,
I
Mike
feel like.
And Janita.
Yeah.
Like, because
they should
like,
have gotten Mike.
Mike is, like, those girls, like, love a silly gay.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, the kind of girls who are like, oh my God, gay guys love me. Yeah. I have, my friend is gay.
Mm-hmm. And then they love also, like, a silly gay who will make kind of, like, jokes about being a slut or something yeah. like that. And so,
yes, like, I'll teach you a thing or two. And she's like, will you teach me how to give a blowjob?
Yeah. They like, want that yeah. kind of thing.
And you just pander to it because you're like, I'm going to get a tip.
I'm going to get paid.
But no, they get May.
They get May, who just like...
Milk-eyed May. Milky-eyed May.
Milk-dud May.
Milk-dud, just dud.
She's
like,
a dud and a half.
So then that happens. And... things are getting so weird with Lindsay. At one point, she's wearing a wetsuit, and Panos is, like, walking down a corridor near the lobster box with, like, all the seafood, and Lindsay just bursts out of nowhere and goes, hey! And then, like...
and jumps on him.
Jumps him.
Tries to, like, hump him, and then is just, like, trying to get him to give her, like, a piggyback ride.
They're, like, wrestling.
They're wrestling.
Lindsay's completely fucked up.
Lindsay is rolling.
Lindsay's rolling
she's
her face
peaking
off.
Peaking on ecstasy.
Panos
and just, like, trying to be playful.
Panos is, like, chill.
Parnos is not
Parnos
having
is
it.
Like, I don't want to wrestle with you. But
Parnos
Lindsay,
is deeply hungover from, like, taking yeah. all those shots.
Parnos is... his governess had to, like, give him, like, 8 glasses of milk that morning.
Yeah.
So then Lindsay's, like, there's a... she goes, there's a yacht out there, and I want to take Kyle, the new guy, Kayla, and Brent. I want to take them off...
on the yacht.
Get them... I want to get Brent away, because he's, like... she just...
I don't know what.
She has
we some... now, this is where the show takes a turn, and everything that happens after this moment makes no actual sense.
So they take Kayla, Kyle, and Brent on a dinghy. You see Lindsay's wearing like...
Lindsay
like
puts like a shawl over her head,
and
then
like,
whips it off, and then yeah. they're taking a dinghy on like the rocky waters. Did you notice like the waves like splashing into yeah. everyone? It looked like a very rough ride to
they
get
went, like,
to a yacht.
Very far away.
But no one, like, what is this yacht? They keep referring to it as the yacht, but
I think
it's like,
I think Lindsay is
whose
like,
yacht is it?
I think it's the club yacht.
So when you have a club, you just get a yacht?
Well, I think they might have, like, a yacht that they lease or something, and they take, like, super VIP people out there and, like, play on it. So Lindsay takes them out.
That's where Janita was the day before.
Yeah.
It was probably on the yacht with a client.
But Lindsay's, like, yeah.
I mean,
so Lindsay wants to get to know Kayla and Kyle better, and she wants to separate. She thinks Brent is being toxic, so she separates him. This is
her
reasoning.
No logic.
There's no logic.
And then there's some of her friends are on the little dinghy going out to the yacht too. Because
yeah.
there were some like randos.
So they're out on the yacht. They're really far out in the middle of nowhere, and Lindsay makes them all sit down. She starts feeding them espresso martinis.
She gives them espresso martinis on the yacht. And then there's a chef. And then there's a whole moment where Lindsay talks about the importance of cooking.
And Italian. She goes, we call this Italiano.
Italian culture.
My family is partial Italian, half Italian. We call this food Italiano. And it's...
and she goes into the kitchen and proceeds to make plates of food that truly... Honestly, like,
I've never
don't,
seen anything like it.
I don't know what to say. There was like,
there was
a Bialy, I think. Like, it looked like an everything Bialy that she poured some ketchup on.
She had, it
then
was
she had
like bread that you get at a steakhouse,
Texas toast,
a hamburger
a
patty,
a huge hamburger patty with cheese melted on it,
tomato, and then like a donut, and then,
and she
sausage.
Grabs a bunch of tortilla chips, crumbles them up, and sprinkles it over the entire plate.
And then just pours ketchup all over it. And then takes a giant sausage and puts it on. And then
there's a sausage on the fryer, as though, you know, the sausage, like at the very end, it's gathered. So you would cut the end off and then you would slice sausage after that. She took the end of the sausage and put it face down on a frying pan. Then she stabs it with a fork and holds it up to the camera and then puts it on a plate.
She was, this is what we call Italiano.
Like, is she Italian even?
I think her mom is, but like, It's like
this made no.
Is that some like Long Island shit?
This was like drugs. This is like what I have done on acid before, where I get so hungry and I just want to eat everything, and it doesn't even matter like what combinations are happening. Like, it all seems good. Like, this felt very like acid trip adjacent to me.
So she puts it out for Kyle, Kayla, and Brent, and they're kind of like, they seem kind of uncomfortable.
They don't know what's happening. I don't think they're allowed to go in the yacht. They were told to just like sit on the deck, and it seems like they're sitting on the deck for like hours.
They are, and they look very confused as to why they're there. They're like, shouldn't we be working? And Lindsay's feeding them drinks, and then Lindsay disappears in the yacht, in the bowels of the yacht. Kayla starts talking about how she's here, like, kind of America's Next Top Model. Like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to get people kicked off. Like, Kayla's on some, like, she thinks it's like a game show.
Kyle is like, why is there so much competition? I don't understand, like, what's going on. And, like, I'm not trying to, like, fight with anyone. Brent is like, I don't think he knows. He seems very confused. Then, like, Lindsay comes back. She's done a full outfit change and a blowout. And she's like now leaning over a chair, spying again, as she's wont to do, smiling with a little demon smile. She looks like a garden gnome.
She goes, I wish you could see what the faces we're making right now. Can you take a picture?
Yeah, we'll take a picture. Lindsay's garden gnome smiling at Kayla.
I'm going to do a face and we're going to post it.
And this is the face that Lindsay did with Kayla.
And she goes, what are you talking about?
She goes, why are you? She goes, that is not part of, you're here for the Lindsay goes, brand.
And now I know that Kayla not here for the right reason.
Yes. It's like in the first day when she's like, I see how it is. I'm like, going to keep my eye on you.
But it's like, Lindsay is making like conclusions in her head where she literally is the only person that like Lindsay has a narrative, and Kayla speaks to this later on where she's like, she's living in her own world. Like, and but it really is true because Lindsay, but it's weird to me that she comes to these conclusions. Like, she's been alive for 32 years and she's been coming to conclusions.
Well, let's
I mean allegedly, but like she's been coming to conclusions like that she just dreams up her entire life.
Yeah.
And everyone around her, not one person has ever been like, Lindsay,
stop.
You come to these conclusions and you're the only fucking person.
I think Kayla,
and no one has done that. And even like as far Kayla. As in this, like now she has a camera crew that's filming her come to these conclusions, and she's talking to the camera crew like she's cracked the fucking code. They're like, dude, she probably told this like crew of people. Like, I imagine that the crew is in hell now because not even like miking people up correctly. Like, the audio is like so all over
the place. They're like, what are
they've
we doing?
They've lost a lot. They're just like, let's go through the motions. We have like 10 more shoot days left and we can get the fuck out of Mykonos.
But she goes, oh, now I see how it is.
Like, Lindsay probably told them, like, imagine the crew having to like film everyone going out to this yacht was probably a whole to do. And so they're like, okay, well, you're going to take them on the yacht and like talk to them. And Lindsay's like, sure. Like, we'll talk about this. She's like, yes, we will talk.
Sure.
We'll have lots of talk. Then Lindsay goes, films her cooking in the kitchen scene, which God knows what the fuck that was. Then goes and passes out, changes clothes, gives a blowout. And then they're like, Lindsay, are you finally ready to do like the talking, like get to know you scene? And she's like, Oh, okay, I know what this is. I know why the reason she's here. They're like, what?
I know why the reason.
Yeah, like, I know why the reason she is here. And now I will crack the code and like, come to her and confront her about it.
And they're like, that's no, not they're like, no, what we, just... we decided, but sure, let's go with that. Why
so
then, not?
And so it's literally that moment when she goes.
She goes, I know, I see a reason. And then Kayla, I overheard Kayla talk. I know, this is part of the plan,
the producer plan. It's all a game and I am making the rules of the game. That's what it is.
This is my show.
This is my show, my yacht, my club, isn't it? Tell me I am right. My club, my show, my world.
Now I know.
Now I see what you do. You
producer, you. Now I know why you want me to come to the yacht. And they're like, we never wanted you to come on this yacht.
So then she tells Kayla, she goes, I know what you say this for. You here for reasons of your own that aren't part of my brand. And Kayla's literally like, What are you talking about? And then
Lindsay just goes, do you have boyfriend?
Lindsay goes, so what is your, do you have boyfriend?
She's like an old Russian sea hag.
But then weirdly Kayla goes, Lindsay goes, you have boyfriend. I know how difficult that must be. She goes, but it's different with me because I live in public eye. And then Kayla goes, I know.
I'm in the public eye,
which were, me and you were like,
in what world? Anyways, okay.
And Lindsay goes, how? Tell me how that's true.
Lindsay also said, I think before this, she was like, the reason I want to have Kayla alone on the yacht is because she works in Vegas at my ex-boyfriend's club, which then led us down this whole Now I think she wants intel. I think Lindsay wants a lot of things, but then she also wants to do a lot of drugs. So then she can't, like, she gets scattered, but yeah. She just is like, I hate Kayla. And, like, I think that she doesn't like her because of the Harry Morton.
She probably thinks that she's, like, somehow involved with her ex-boyfriend.
So she probably, like, sought Kayla out specifically to bring her on the show.
But yeah, so Lindsay reveals that Kayla works at the club that
rehab. She's like, a club called Rehab.
And she stares at the camera,
looks knowingly into the camera.
Harry Morton, my ex-boyfriend,
which is also owned by an ex-lover of mine.
an ex-lover. So then I think she wants Kayla just to like get information on her ex.
Yeah, but
she's like jealous.
But then she's lost the plot.
And then she goes,
because after a rocky dinghy ride and then like a weird scene crumbling tortilla chips over a plate of ketchup bread.
And then she says,
passing out, changing out, coming to, awakening from a horrible dream. Like, she passed out at that prime time when you've been, like, day drinking and partying. You get so tired, but you don't want to fall asleep and then wake up and it's dark. So Lindsay, like, her internal clock was, like, she woke up, like...
magic hour.
Yeah, and she's like, I must get to yacht deck, and then like blows out her hair, then hears Kayla talking, then is somehow reminded of something that was important, but then is like, oh, I know.
I know what this is.
I know what this is.
But then she goes, and then she's like, oh, she goes, you must be very unhappy with your boyfriend.
You are unhappy.
You are unhappy.
Oh, I know. You are unhappy. And then Kayla's,
I love
like,
the way you are unhappy. And Kayla's like,
what? No. What?
No, I'm actually like, my boyfriend and I've been together for 2 years. Like, I'm really happy. And she goes, no, no, don't lie to me. You are unhappy.
I know what these
I know what unhappy feels like, and you are not happy with
I
your
see
lover.
It.
You are deeply unhappy and you are unsatisfied. He leaves you unsatisfied. And suddenly it's a personal attack on Kayla and her relationship that Lindsay knows nothing about.
Knows nothing about
Kayla,
and has no reason
and
to.
And Kayla presses back on her.
Yeah, she's like, actually I'm not, like, I'm fine, and this is like, I miss him, and like, hope maybe he'll come here to visit me or something. She goes, oh, I know now what you want.
You want him to come here,
you
to the club,
come here. Well, you just got here, he is not invited.
He is now, you can come here. And then Kayla's like, okay. And then Lindsay stands up and goes, all of you must leave the yacht now.
I need you all off this
yacht. Need you all off your yacht.
She's fully Kellyanne Conway.
Like, Kelly, no, she's fully Kelly Ben Simoning right now.
Like, she is Crazy Island.
And she's like, you must leave. So she makes him leave the yacht. And I guess Lindsay stays on the yacht.
Yeah, Lindsay stays on.
She's on it for the night.
She's ready to have a magic hour cocktails, yeah. Like round two of the daytime party. And like, the cast cannot be privy to that. And so also Kayla's enemy numero uno.
Kayla is so upset. She gets back to the house and she calls her dad. And she's like, I'm genuinely, with good reason, she's like, I'm deeply disturbed by my boss. She just made a blanket statement about my emotional state, and she knows nothing about my life.
She's like targeting me and saying like, I'm unhappy, which now could be like grounds to fire me because she thinks that I'm unhappy in my relationship.
Now everyone is on the same page that Lindsay, her reasons for...
There's no rhyme or reason.
So everyone knows that now. Everyone knows that she's a complete like fascist.
Yeah.
And like she will fire at whim.
And that this is the equivalent of like fire fest.
Yeah.
This is like the reality job equivalent of that. Because there is like, it's not a competition show. It's not like you're all working here and have actual jobs to do because there are no jobs to do. Like they've taken to now just drinking all day.
Yeah. So they're just like, I just have to make it till I can get that paycheck.
Yeah.
And like be on TV.
Yeah.
But Kayla's like crying to her dad. Her dad and her have like a weirdly like casual, like her dad's like, tell her to suck a dick.
And it's like, okay, well, thanks, yeah, dad, Kristen Doty.
But I think Kayla's dad, Kayla is going to be like,
I think Kayla's dad's a star.
But Kayla is fully like, it was kind of refreshing in a weird way to see her kind of push back on Lindsay, because she was sort of like, no, you're not in reality.
Yeah.
She kind of told her that.
She told her that. She was basically like, you're crazy and nothing here makes any sense.
So then, and the show, the episode ends with you hear Kayla saying, my childhood dream to meet Lindsay Lohan has gone to shit.
Yeah. Kayla's furious. I miss Jules.
Yeah, Jules is
actually the missing link at this point.
Do you think she like gave herself like a week in Europe?
I hope that Jules is still like on the island.
I think she went to like Amsterdam and like
she probably is like island hopping, like, and then she slips in, like, she's like, Mike, I'll call you and let you know like where to meet me when this is all over. Like, if I was one of them, I would just stay. I would have planned to stay in Greece or wherever afterwards to give myself a little vacation.
No, this is what happened. Jules walked into the sea.
Jules heard a whisper calling her name.
But she was, it was really rough as we saw, and she was tossed around the Aegean. She left the island and she was like in open water, like swimming, flailing against the open waves. And then she just like kind of like passed out, but yeah, like in the water. And when she woke up, she was on Yaya Island. So she's at Yaya's captured her.
Yaya was walking the shores early morning on her early morning
with
walk
with like a gold one, yeah, of those like gold
the beep things,
sonar things.
Yaya hopes still she thinks one day she'll strike it rich.
So Yaya
saw Jules,
and the first thing she said was, oh my god, you're a perfect
match
for my gay grandson.
Yeah. And dragged Jules by the hair to her little hut.
So now they're like adorning her with like Greek style, like it's like my
they're
big fat
making
Greek
her
wedding.
Like Cheerio necklaces from, yeah, Ralph's, and like feeding her cupcakes and Sunny D.
And they're like, they're gonna have like a big fat Greek wedding.
And they're like, Alex will come back any day now.
Yeah,
just you wait, he'll be back soon. And Jules is like, can I please leave? She's like, can I please leave? Do you have urgent care here? I need a doctor. Please.
I need to get my sinuses checked out.
I think Yaya's I need like, sinus surgery.
You don't need... They will clear naturally.
She goes, just, sunshine and ocean water, clear them out right away.
Salt air. And so you just hear Jules screaming, help me! Help!
Help me!
Help me! Help me!
And he's like, we will wait. And then meanwhile, Alex is never going to return. Because he's like...
Alex is gone forever.
So she has to wait till Alex comes back to free her.
She's going to have to wait till Yaya dies. And then maybe Alex will go to her funeral.
And
they'll see Jules. She's like 35. Her life has like passed her by. Wearing like a full... Like by that time, she'll have like... fully like had Stockholm syndrome, so Yaya, she will have like loved Yaya.
She has a full accent.
Yeah,
she has like
she speaks fluent Greek,
and she like owns like a bar in the village, and like, yeah, that's all she does.
She slings beers to the, yeah, locals.
She's one of the 12 people that live in that town.
Mm-hmm. She rides a donkey to work every day.
She chases goats. And she completely forgets that she's from Denver.
Because of all the, like, years of being held captive.
She converted to Greek Orthodox.
Yeah. And she thinks that Alex is coming to marry her.
And he's like, Jules, do you remember me? I'm gay.
And she then...
No, you're... I wash ashore. I'm fated to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, why do you have that? You're from Denver. And she's like, no.
No.
No, I'm from here. I was born
on the island.
I'm born in Yaya's house.
I was born to Yaya.
Yaya is my mother and my grandmother.
And my grandmother, yet not at all. And we are betrothed. And then he's like, what? And then she just captures him and does the same thing to him. And the cycle of abuse just repeats itself and repeats itself. Because when homophobia runs rampant in the family, it spreads like a disease. And everyone gets hurt.
And with that... Next week, it seems like Kayla's really challenging Lindsay.
Yeah.
Lindsay at one point says, you don't talk back to me, I'm your boss.
They're going to fight.
Which I'm totally here for. Also, Kayla is Sheena.
Kayla is
Sheena Shea. She sounds like her.
Sheena decided that no one was giving her the attention she deserved on Vanderpump Rules, so she slapped on a fake tattoo and auditioned for this reality show as Kayla.
Oh my god, what if Kayla is Sheena?
What if Sheena is...
Oh, you also... The hot air balloon tattoo.
I'm really offended by Kayla's hot air balloon tattoo. Like, I can't. Every time I look at it, I'm confused. I make like a Kelly Ben Simone on the island fake.
With the jelly beans. She's a Warped Tour girl.
She's so Warped Tour. She's so 2001.
Yeah.
But I feel like Sheena would like film a scene from Vanderpump Rules, then hop on an airplane, take an international flight to Greece, and then film Lohan Beach House.
She's violating her
then
contract.
She would slip out unnoticed of Lohan Beach House, spend the whole plane ride like removing the fake tattoo, go film a scene of Vanderpump Rules, and that's why she moved to Marina Del Rey, so she could be close to LAX, so she could do both shows at the same time.
Holy shit.
They're fully the same person.
They have the same like...
face.
Intonations.
They also share a plastic surgeon, I'm pretty sure, who does whatever the same to their faces.
Yeah.
Because they look like twins.
God, what if they got it together?
I think that that's cute to get like matching plastic
BFF
surgery.
BFF surgery?
That seems like a very like that type of woman living in LA thing to do. Like think that that was fun. Like, let's go and he'll like do our lips and we'll look like kind of the same.
We're
and
sisters.
Like, fun and cute. My plastic surgery journey is always going to be like a solo mission.
Oh, yeah. I want it like Blake Lively.
Yeah. I just want it like low key. But maybe high key in some ways, but it's just like me and my journey with plastic surgery. It's not like a buddy system. Like, it's not like we go and do it at the same time. It's like I go, you come with me so that you can drive me home afterwards. And then I want whatever the same for you.
I want whatever Lindsay's doing to her.
What is she doing?
I want it.
She looks so good.
I read
good.
Something today about Silicon Valley people are injecting themselves with young people's blood to prolong life.
What?
Like, it's like there's like a big thing going on in Silicon Valley with like tech people where like the power players, they're apparently like injecting themselves with like young blood because they think it like prolongs. There's a big thing in Bloomberg about it. I'll send it to you.
Where do I buy a bag of blood?
I mean, if Silicon Valley's doing it, we all should be doing
it. Okay, listen. If any listeners between the ages of 18 and 24 want to donate a pint of their blood to me, I need to figure out what my blood type is, but I will take your blood.
Next week, we'll be confirming your blood type.
Do you know what's annoying, though, is that you have to get like a special blood test to find out your blood type. They won't just do that when you get like tested regularly for like HIV and shit.
That's so weird.
I was like, hey, what's my blood type? And they were like, oh, that costs a lot extra.
It's not that simple.
And I'm like, what the actual
It's like a 23andMe waiting period, which I like want to do it, but I don't want to wait that long.
I told you I'm banned from 23andMe.
Yeah.
Another fucking thing. If it's not one thing, it's another. But let's talk blood, and I'm going to figure out my blood type, and I want the blood of a reader. I feel like someone would do that.
I think it's
just
the
give me your blood. I'll shout you out on the pod. We'll see if it's a match and how good I feel.
Maybe you'll be a guest.
Yeah. If you give me your blood, it's the ultimate Patreon.
Screw wish lists.
I don't. My wish list is literally a pint of blood from a 18 to 21 year old. I'm actually now age limiting. It has to be younger than 24.
Oh my God. Same.
Between 18 and 21, female only. I want your blood. Are you down?
Blood rave.
Blood rave. I want your blood. If you donate extra, if you're a man and you're young, I'll say 18 to 24. You can donate your blood for us to host a blood rave.
Your blood will be used just for partying.
Just for partying.
Just for revelry.
Yeah. But we need a lot of people to do that, because I feel like a blood rave, you're going to need a lot.
Dozens.
And as the party throwers of the blood rave, we're exempt from having to donate blood.
Yeah, we don't have to. We don't have to donate blood. We just accept it.
I want to start Lars Marine Carey's blood rave beach house, where it's just us trying to staff, like, manage VIPs and
vampires.
Throw an incredible blood rave.
What if there was this, instead of, it was like Lindsay's beach house, it was about, like, vampire.
Yeah. Carey's blood rave.
Carey's vampire
Carey O'Donnell's
rave.
O'Donnell's beach blood rave.
Stay tuned.
And you're like, you, Kayla, you and Kyle are going to be hooked up to the IVs this afternoon. Hope you can handle it. You have to give a lot of blood.
I hope you've been taking a lot of vitamins.
I'm like, do you know your blood type?
Do you know?
You cry a lot. Does that mean your blood is weak?
Your blood is weak. I see the tears coming from your face.
Oh my God.
So yeah, if you're a young lady, let me know what you're... respond to this podcast and tell me if you're down to donate a pint of blood to me and what your blood type is.
Hashtag Silicon Valley.
Hashtag Silicon Valley. Hashtag blood for Lara.
I support you.
I think this is a great idea.
I think it's a great.
I'm crowdsourcing blood.
You are.
This is the new.
That's the new podcast crossover.
Yeah. Give me your blood.
Give me your blood and prolong my life.
Prolong my life. Be a guest in the pod. It's the ultimate gift.
We've reached, we're in Event Horizon.
We've crossed over. This is, I feel like I've come into a dark place. But
I love it.
But I really like it.
I love it. I think we're owning it.
I hope I get blood. I sold, fully successfully sold a Goop outfit that was too big for me yesterday on the gram to a beater.
Only natural progression is blood.
The next thing I want to do is crowdsource blood.
From Goop to blood crowdsource.
I think Gwyneth would be proud of my blood crowdsource.
She's all about
She's
that.
She's definitely injecting.
Oh, for sure.
These people have in Silicon Valley. Gwyneth's been doing it for years.
Celebrities have been doing it for like a decade.
Yeah. And so I'm just trying to like get in on that level. I'm trying to even the playing field, and I'm saying you don't have to be rich or powerful
to inject
the blood of the youth.
You just have to have a podcast. You have to have a podcast.
Literally anyone can do it.
Oh my God. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much for being here.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.